Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Style crew, we are here for another educational episode. Today we have a special guest, Dr. T, here with us to talk about the benefits of Botox. And I'm very excited to welcome her in and for you all to hear her knowledge, her wisdom, and just answer any and all questions that you all may have had about Botox. I know I've had several of my own, so I'm very excited to learn from her today. I'm going to welcome our guest in by reading her bio. Dr. Tabuto Howe, MBA, is a board-certified emergency medicine physician who discovered a passion for beauty and wellness and preventative medicine. Dr. T has been involved in the aesthetics industry since 2017. Modern Beauty Oasis was created with a powerful vision in mind to challenge and overcome the lack of diversity in the aesthetics space. Dr. T firmly believes that every individual deserves to feel represented and celebrated in the world of longevity, wellness, and beauty. At Modern Beauty Oasis, we are dedicated to providing you with a rejuvenating and luxurious experience that caters to all your needs with a deep understanding of facial, skincare, and beauty. We combine our expertise with the latest techniques and high-quality products to deliver outstanding results. Whether you're seeking a relaxing facial, advanced skincare treatments, or expert advice, we have you covered. We have many branch official businesses, trusted, and a best skills team working alongside us. So with that being said, I want to welcome Dr. T to the podcast of Modern Beauty Oasis. Welcome, welcome.
Jessica, thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much. Absolutely. Thank you. You excellently read the bio, so I appreciate it.
Listen, I was hoping to do you justice. You are a very well-accomplished woman. You are a doctor. I know you had to study and work very hard for that, so I wanted to make sure that I gave you the proper introduction that you are owed. So we are very, very excited welcome you in. So I want to get started by giving you the opportunity to give the listeners a little bit of background about yourself. So tell me about your journey to medicine and what led you to this particular area of practicing medicine.
All right, well, thank you again. You read my bio so well, but first and foremost, I'm a child of God. And I am also a child of Haitian immigrants, and education was huge in our family. So from the small age, I just knew I wanted to be a doctor, and my parents just nourished that. And I also had the opportunity to live with my uncle, who's also a physician. And it was just eye-opening for me because my parents are not, they didn't have college degrees, but my uncle was a professional. So I got to see how he interacted with the community, what he did to give back as far as being a physician. And I lived with him for many years because my parents didn't want me growing up in New York, where they felt like it would be safer with my uncle. So that was so cool to see how he worked so hard to provide healthcare to the Haitian community in a time when there were a lot of Haitian refugees. That really inspired me and solidified that I had to do medicine. I went to an amazing undergrad. Medical school was amazing. Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, went to the Philly campus. And there, basically, I went in thinking I was going to do one thing. And by third year, I was like, okay, I'm either going to do maybe like derm or aesthetics, or the ER, and I chose emergency. Like, I fell in love with it. I've been practicing emergency medicine now for 10 years, but about 2017, I started to really just fall in love with what the human body could do if you took care of it. So that's when
2019, I changed my own bodybuilding competition.
Absolutely fell in love with what the human body could do if you took care of the body, if you actually trained, hydrated, and I wanted to incorporate that into a practice of some sort. So fast forward to 2021, I officially got trained in Botox and fillers and aesthetics, and I haven't stopped since then. Last year, I opened up my own business, and this calendar year, I moved into my new spot. So I'm really excited to share that, the love I have for wellness, beauty, longevity. I'm really excited to share that with the community.
So walk me through that. That's very interesting that you participated in a bodybuilding competition, and that really piqued your interest in furthering health, as well as you having the education from studying medicine. I'm sorry, I just like to allow my guests to share just a little bit about themselves, because I think each of us have a story that's so important. Are you still practicing bodybuilding?
Yes, I'm actually. So, well, let's. I still love the sport.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'm going to be competing anytime soon, but I see the principles of tracking my macros, trying to push my body to the limit. Like everybody else, it's been so hard because I'm still in the ER and I'm still working to build a practice, but okay. I'm always going to love like building the body up, seeing how much muscle you can get, and not even to look quote bulky per se, but just optimum health. I'm always going to love that. I think it's so cool when like literally if a bodybuilder walks into like whether it's the ER or if I'm out somewhere and I see someone who's like really like cut and swole, and I always hype them up because I know it takes a lot of discipline. So what you're seeing is discipline. So I don't foresee myself getting on stage anytime soon, but I'm always going to love pushing the body a little bit more each time and, you know, watching what I eat to optimize my strength and my fitness.
That is so interesting. I'm glad that you shared that part of your journey, because I agree with you. It does take a lot of discipline to stick with a certain diet, exercise regimen, your sleep, all of those things. It plays into that. So that's very interesting.
Yeah. So I can't wait to when I can explore the option of stepping on stage, because it's a huge commitment, but it was like one of the most rewarding experiences in my adult life. So I'm thankful that I got opportunity to do that. Some people do it regularly, but it's just not for me right now. But I love like fitness and nutrition and just like wellness.
You go, girl, with your bodybuilding self. Come on. So you're very multifaceted. And again, before we get into our discussion about Botox, to add to your story, I also just want to touch on your parents' sacrifice for allowing you to stay with your uncle to ensure that you had what it is that they felt like you needed. I can imagine that wasn't an easy decision for them to make or for you to participate in. Can you share with our listeners just how you feel like, I know you've talked about being able to witness your uncle and the care that he had that really had an impact on you. But what are some other things that you got from him during that time?
Oh, honestly, I feel like I'm so much like him. Like, he is the calm in the storm. Just the most relaxed, easygoing. I never saw him get flustered. Not to say that's you can't be a good person if you get flustered. It's not that.
Yeah,
it's
just of course.
Handle challenging situations. I did not only work in the ER, but work in my adult life. Like, you know, he really took a beat before he like overreacted. Like he's just an amazing person. Down to earth, humble as all get out. I learned humility from his name is Junkla Tubuto, still alive. So I learned humility from him, my comedy from him, not to overreact from him. So much I learned as a kid. I modeled, like, you know, a lot of my personality I think is so much like him. And my parents are awesome as well. I learned so much from my parents, but just like that formative time, I really like latched on to, I think the adult that I am now, I see a lot of my personality and things that I noticed in him when I was growing up that I couldn't understand at the time, but now I'm like, oh, I get it. You know, like kind of see the bigger picture.
It sounds like he was and still is very responsive as opposed to reactive when you mentioned him being the calm in the storm.
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and his daughter will laugh because like, he's still like one of my heroes. So if he like, wishes me a happy birthday or something, or he sends me a message, I'm always like, oh my gosh, he remembered me. And his daughter's like, no, she hypes me up, like, you know, my dad loves you. I'd be like, ha, because, you know, he's like really chill. Sometimes, you know, we don't talk as much as we should, but when I hear from him, it's always a big deal. And his daughter knows, like, joke about that.
I love that. It seems like you all have a very special relationship, and I can tell how much your family means to you, that that's an important value you have. Yeah.
For my parents to do that wasn't easy, but it like really formative. There were some speed bumps, of course, but it worked out. So, you know, I thank them for that sacrifice that they did. And I thank him for taking on someone that wasn't his kid. It's letting him eat and treating me the exact same as as his daughter and his son. You know, I'm thankful for that.
That speaks a lot about his character as well. The willingness to care for you and love you as your own and make that loving sacrifice as well.
Yeah, I'm thankful for what my parents did. I'm thankful for him and like him letting me in his home and his family as well.
I love that. So talk to me about your journey when you find yourself in school, you have a plan for yourself, you're thinking, okay, I'm going in to study this type of medicine. And then I believe, if I remember correctly, when you were describing your story, about 3 years in, you realized, okay, I'm going a different direction. Talk to me about that discovery and what really started to pique your interest in wanting to pursue the aesthetics industry.
Okay. So I went in wanting to do everything. So that worked with ER and then now aesthetics, but, so from a young age, with like magazines, like my favorite magazines, I remember Vibe magazine, but I always remember like reading Shape magazine and Woman's Health Fitness magazine. I've been doing that since I was like 14. So going into medical school, I was like, well, let me, you know, maybe family medicine, maybe orthopedics, because I like athletes and I like the body and what it could do. And and 1 minute I thought maybe OB, but it doesn't matter. I did two rotations. I did a family medicine doctor that worked with a dermatologist, and they did family medicine, but they also did aesthetics as well. And the dermatologist did actual dermatology, not just aesthetics, but like diseases of the skin. And I liked that rotation so, so much. And then I went to the ER and I was like, oh, like, I really like this. Like, you know, like, I like the environment. I love the culture. I love that you didn't know what you were going into and you could handle anything, like to stabilize. Right. So it was like so hard. It was a toss up, but I ended up choosing ER, and I had the most amazing training at Emory University, great hospital, nothing like it. Like, I love my colleagues. I still love working in the ER with my colleagues and like with the nurses, the culture. But about 2017 was when I started to like kind of peek into, well, maybe I can do health coaching and maybe I can help women and men lose weight. And I started like health coaching on the side. And then 2020, when COVID, like, you know, was the whole world shut down, I really thought to myself, okay, I've been in this ER for, you know, going on about 8 years now, I think at the time. And is there anything else that I want to do? Because, you know, life doesn't have to be linear. Is there any passion that I'm not exploring? Because I think during COVID, we were all like, wait a minute, what do I like to do? Like, people were discovering self-care. They were discovering baking their breads at home. You know, I was like, like, I was still in the ER with sick patients, but I was like, what do I like? So I took a chance and I got some training in Miami in aesthetics because I've always wanted, like, the bodybuilding in 2019 just kind of ramped up. Like, I need to be doing aesthetics. Like, I need to be helping people feel better, look better. Like, I love this and I could do this as a doctor. So I like dedicated my time to the training and education. And then from there, it's been like, go. And as far as forming my own LLC, I did that last year. And this calendar year, I have my own place. And I'm still in it now. It's brand new. That's why you hear the echoes. But it's mine. And I'm like happy about it. So this is like just like my little baby, this project, this like this facility, but also like this new endeavor, like helping the community feel and look better. I'm so excited.
You should be excited. You should be proud of yourself. I'm proud of you because it takes a leap of faith to embark on a passion that you have within your heart and something that God has placed inside of you to do it. And so I'm really proud of you for taking the steps during COVID to learn what you needed to learn and just going for it.
Thank you.
And I think it's very necessary. So I want to have a transparent moment. When I came across your page, I was so excited because being a Black woman, a Black podcast host, I've been very intentional about the guests that I've had on the show. And one of the reasons that I did...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
To create this platform is for Black women to be able to have these types of conversations, be educated, have it be done in a vibrant, welcoming space. And so with you being a Black doctor within the space, I instantly was like, please, I have to talk to her. And we played phone tag for a while. And I'm just glad that we didn't give up because I really wanted to speak with you. But I just want to be transparent that it's by design that obviously I sought you for your expertise, but also you being a Black woman, because for me, obviously I have Black hairstylists, a Black dermatologist, I have a Black esthetician who has been on the show, and that's all by design because the fact of the matter is, and I want to give you the opportunity to speak from this, from perhaps a scientific aesthetics perspective, whatever is the right verbiage, our skin, our health, our body, it's different. And I do think it's important, like you mentioned in your bio, that we have representation, we have diversity in the medical spaces, but also in the aesthetic space, because I'll share a bit of my medical history. So I have scalp psoriasis and I've gotten to a point where I manage it now and I've gotten it under control. But the reason I share that, I discovered it when I was interning for Disney in Orlando during my sophomore year of college. And so I'd gone to a hairstylist who was Black And she was telling me she noticed it, that I was the first time I had a hairstylist notice this. And she said, you have scalp psoriasis. And I noticed this because my daughter has it. And all these years, I thought I just had suffered from bad dandruff. Yeah. And never knew that that's what it was. So she referred me to a dermatologist. I went, he was a Caucasian doctor. And the first thing he said to me, now I'm in the room with a Caucasian doctor to paint the scene. And his assistant was of Latino descent. And so he says to me, oh yeah, you definitely have it. You have it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you this, this formula to put on your scalp. You need to wash your hair every day. Yeah. And I pause and I'm like, doc, hold up. Mm-hmm. And so I, at the time I'm like 19, maybe 20 years old. I can't remember. So I paused and I raised my hand. I'm like, I can't do that. And he's looking at me completely puzzled. And the assistant is in the room and she, her hair texture, even though she was of Latino descent, it looked close. She didn't have straight hair. I'll say that. She had some texture to it. And so she instantly said, yeah, she said she knew I was Black. And so she said they can't wash their hair that frequently. And so he's like, what do you mean? Like, I don't understand what's going to happen. Is it going to fall out? And I was like, yes, it actually will. Like, well, I don't understand. So I took the tree. I took the prescriptions that he gave me, but I altered it based on my own routine. Now I don't even use that. I've been able to figure out things that work. And like, I do, like, my scalp itches, you know, by the time it's time to wash it, but I've gotten it under control. Like, I don't have the large flakes anymore. So I've just been able to figure out things that work. The reason I share that story is because this white man had no idea about my hair, our texture, what we can do, what we can't do. And so that was my first moment as a young adult of understanding, being intentional about selecting medical providers that look like me. And if you don't look like me, if I'm not able to find a provider that looks like me, to at least have the knowledge of our background and things we can do and can't do, and just the differences in our skin. Like, as Black people, we are prone to, you know, scarring and keloids and all of these things. So I just wanted to share that to say that I appreciate you being in this space and taking that leap. And it's very important. I don't want you to ever, you know, I'm sure as a business owner, you have ups, you have downs, but just always hold on to that and understand that there is space for you. And it is very important that you are in this space.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. As a business owner yourself, I'm sure you can, you know, there's the up, there's a down, there's you know, it's like something you have to devote a lot of time and attention to. Completely worth it. But I appreciate you for the recognition. And I want to recognize you too, because you're so, you've been so professional in our interactions. You've been like so consistent, and I appreciate, even with the reach outs and the follow-ups, I learned to like, listen, you follow up. Like, so that's something I need to do even in my own business. I'm like, yeah, I'll follow up. Like, you know, I'm going to think of you for sure. You've been, I learned a lot just even in the short interaction thus far.
So thank you. I receive it, because this is a new venture for me and I've had to learn a lot as I go. But interacting with amazing guests such as yourself, it just solidifies that I'm on the right path and doing the right thing. So
good work.
Yes. Okay. So let's get into Botox, honey. Let's get into everything that the listeners are waiting for. So talk to me about, what are some common misconceptions about Botox and other injectables?
Okay. Let's do some common misconceptions. So common misconception is that Botox is only for wrinkles. Not true. Botox is used for chronic migraines. So migraine sufferers can get therapeutic Botox. It could be for TMJ problems. If you have really like, if you have tight jaw, like if your jaw muscles are tight, it can be used to relax the muscle, helping with the TMJ, which can also help the headaches. It could be used for sweaty, like underarms, could be used sweat, and also could be used for even an overactive bladder. So that's what we call the therapeutic Botox.
Okay.
So it's not just for wrinkles. Common misconception is that Botox and fillers are the same. It's not. Botox is going to relax the muscle underneath the skin. And when the muscle relaxes, it can't move. It can't fold the skin. So you get less wrinkles. And filler is going to fill in spaces that need more volume. So the filler is going to kind of help you with your cheeks, help you with your lips. If your chin's a little bit flat and you want it to be a little bit more out to balance the facial profile, the fillers will help with that. So they are actually different, which is a common misconception. Some people think they're the same. Another misconception is that people think Botox is only for like much older people, and it's not true. We're seeing a lot of 20 and 30 year old people get their what they call prejuvenation instead of rejuvenation. You prejuvenate, and what they're doing is basically getting small amounts of Botox so that the muscle doesn't move as much, so that they don't get strong wrinkles in their late 30s and 40s.
Okay. So
like a kind of like a little bit of a prevention, kind of keeping the wrinkles at bay. So the misconception is, so it's not just for older people, but you can start getting Botox in your 20s and 30s. Another misconception is that if you get Botox, you'll immediately look fake and frozen and can't move your face. Mm-hmm. And that's really true. When you're with a qualified trained professional, they can basically come up with a plan with you so that you get the right amount of Botox, that you get like a soft, you know, relaxed, wrinkle-free look, but not necessarily like frozen, like you can't move your face. It doesn't have to be that way. You can adjust like the units to what your body needs. So those are some of the misconceptions.
Okay. So I want to break it down. So explain it to me like, I'm not a medical professional. So explain it to me like I'm five. So that's very interesting to me to know that Botox can aid in like chronic migraines, TMJ, overactive bladder. Can you explain to myself and the listeners how exactly does Botox help in those situations?
Okay, so for like, let's say the TMJ. The TMJ, the muscle can be super like strong. You can be at night just kind of making the muscle stronger and stronger. You add Botox to that area and it could just relax the area, thus making the muscle not as strong so that you're not like, you don't have as much grind, and that can help with headaches as well.
Okay.
Urologists, they inject Botox. I haven't done therapeutic Botox. That's my disclaimer. I do aesthetic Botox, but in neurology, they use certain patterns to help with migraines.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I haven't done overactive bladder. I know it could be used, but I haven't done overactive bladder Botox because that's probably going to be urogyn, the urologist gynecologist.
Okay. But
all that to say, when I purchase the Botox, or we'll call it Botox, but that's another thing, misconception. So Botox is actually a brand like Pepsi and Coke.
Oh.
Like Kleenex. You can say Kleenex and everyone knows tissue, but Botox is a brand. So they're really good at marketing. So people know Botox, but it's also, if there's Botox, there's Xeomin, there's Dysport, Juvo. There's Daxxify. These are all neurotoxins, right?
Okay. Now we're talking, Doc. Okay, let's break it down for the girls.
A lot of coins by calling it Botox, but I understand that people, like, it's like Kleenex. People just know Botox. That's a misconception people have. It's like the actual, like, it's called neurotoxin. Doesn't matter. But even when I go to order my Botox, when I order my neurotoxin, it'll say aesthetic or therapeutic. Like there's like a little different links to order. Just okay. That other doctors, like different specialties, could be ordering it for different reasons.
You just really broke it down for us because I remember hearing something about like different versions, but I didn't even realize that Botox itself is an actual brand. Like when you explain it like Pepsi or Coke, that's so okay.
Yes. So at the end of the day, get you a good neurotoxin. They all relax the muscle. Mm-hmm. So whatever one works for you, like they all do, like they all typically last about 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
I haven't used it, but it claims to last about 6 months. But typically the OGs last about 3 to 4 months.
Okay.
All pretty much work to paralyze the muscles or decreased movement in the muscle so that when the muscle doesn't move, the skin on top of it doesn't move and crack and fold.
Okay.
Crease and fold, rather.
So I want to ask, rough, and it doesn't have to be an exact year or anything, rough estimate about how long has Botox been available as a part of the aesthetics industry?
Oh my goodness. I know it's been greater than 20 years.
Okay.
I can definitely get you some numbers, but it's been a while.
Okay. I thought so.
Yeah.
I thought it had been a while for sure.
If you want, we can look it up together.
We could. Let's see. How long has Botox? You're correct. So it looks like the first FDA approval was 1989.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're right on the money. Okay.
And that's, yeah, so that's more than 20. Yeah. And then 2002 FDA approved Botox for cosmetic use. 2002. Yeah. It's like,
the okay. And so I know you mentioned that a patient who may be suffering from some of the medical issues that you described, such as migraines, TMJ, overactive bladder, they could be good candidates for Botox. You also mentioned that you're seeing a lot of younger patients, like in their 30s, in their 20s, who are focusing on preventative, would you say, maintenance for Botox. Who else would you say would be a good candidate for Botox?
So anyone that's interested in just smoothing out fine lines, right?
Mm-hmm. And
typically in the forehead, the middle of, in between the eyes, the sides of the eyes, mm-hmm. actually use Botox along your neck lines.
Mm.
Yeah, so outside, and then if we talked about the jaw, the hyperhidrosis, so the sweating, the patient that sweats a lot. But anyone that's like looking for a realistic like improvement in those fine lines would be a good candidate. You can't get Botox if you're pregnant or breastfeeding. Those patients would not be good candidates.
Okay.
If you have any neuromuscular diseases like ALS, myasthenia gravis, if you have any history of Guillain-Barré, I would say those patients would not be good candidates.
Okay.
But outside of that, most people that are looking for a realistic change in their fine lines and wrinkles are excellent candidates, both men and women. Men are getting Botox as well, like just to smooth lines. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you just have like one of my patients, he has like a deep crease that he just wants to soften. So mm-hmm. he gets his Botox, you know? So anyone who's
looking for Botox?
Yes, yes, yes. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like there's a stigma about Botox, filler, beauty. But I often think there's the pyramids, right? They were built before Christ, like BC times. Yeah. Even on the pyramids.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Pyramids, I forgot the term for them, but the people that drew on the pyramids, they drew
yeah.
Those people had eyeshadows, eyeliners.
They so, did.
For Christ, people were trying to spruce up their look. So why such a stigma now? And I think it's going away. I feel like people are like, you know what? I don't want these lines. But you know, there used to be such a big stigma, like, oh, I don't want this. I don't put this in my face. But since the beginning of time, we've been trying to like look, you know, feel, look and feel our best.
True.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is helping with minimizing the stigma?
Oh, I think, you know, like amazing content creators like yourself, right? Like, follow me to my appointment. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
Helps with stigma, helps with a little bit of like first experience education. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, it's the best thing to have the content people. And it's also a good thing. It can be a not so good thing with misinformation, but just to have someone like film their experience and like going in, it kind of like, it breaks it down to like, so people are a little bit knowledgeable of what to expect. And even mm-hmm. they're knowledgeable about like what the befores and the afters look like.
Mm-hmm.
Content creation and people sharing their experiences has helped with the stigma. And
I like that. No, I definitely agree with that. I think exposure, education, conversations such as this, because even you breaking down the different types of Botox, that was not something that I was educated on. So I think this helps. Speaking of content creators who were like, hey, follow me to my appointment. Can you break down what does an actual appointment look like for a patient that is coming in for Botox, like from start to finish?
Yeah, let's break it down. So typically at a time, especially with Modern Beauty Oasis, you'll set your appointment and then we'll send you some pre-information about just like things of kind of like not to do's, like 24 hours before your appointment. We don't want you taking anything that will thin your blood, like Motrin. You know, we want you to stick to Tylenol. Don't drink any alcohol
mm-hmm.
hours prior. So that's just like you get like a little like things to know before you get your toxin. Mm-hmm. Then when you walk in, you, of course, most places you're going to be greeted with a friendly smile, definitely a Modern Beauty Oasis. We want you to feel mm-hmm. feel comfortable. Then you'll sit down, talk with myself, and we'll have a consultation just about what are your goals. It's all about you. It's what, not only what do you think that you feel like you want to address, but what are some of the things that you're doing with your outer appearance and your inner health that you are proud of, that you like, that you want to hold on to.
Okay.
So we'll talk about, you know, areas you want to address, and then we'll map out a plan about exactly Botox. We measure in units as far as what you're going to get. So we'll talk about, we'll create a customized treatment plan to measure exactly how many units you'll need and what areas. Then some people do get numbing, but the procedure itself is like almost like little tiny rubber bands, you feel, because they use
okay.
Needle, and depending on the area that you want to be treated, so you can successfully do it without numbing. We can do squeeze balls or a vibratory device to distract your brain. And then the actual Botox or injection rather of the neurotoxin, remember, that takes about 10-15 minutes. It's super quick. And
okay.
then we just kind of wipe up areas that might be a little, that might be bleeding a little bit. The little bumps, the Botox can leave like little tiny, almost looks like mosquito bites for about a couple of hours, but nothing too intense. They go away really quickly. And then after that, wipe you up, we kind of discuss what not, like things to avoid after your Botox, such as laying down for 4 hours, no heavy exercise for 24 hours, no rubbing your face for 24 hours, because we want that toxin, wherever we put it, we want it to stay there. So we don't need any movement. And then taking Tylenol, no aspirin, no Motrin, taking Tylenol for pain, and then avoiding alcohol for 24 hours as well, just because we don't want to make the blood a little bit thinner, we don't want those bruises to persist. So that we do in-house, and then we talk about a good treatment plan as far as when you're coming back. We always recommend we follow up, and the reason is not just to get more, it's not necessarily to get more Botox, it's just to say, okay, let's get that picture in 2 weeks. The Botox, most neurotoxins kick in about 3 to 5 days, but your final result is 2 weeks. And at that point, you want your picture done to compare, just to ensure that the results, those are results that you like, right? If you feel like you may have, like, you feel like you're not being able to move as much, then now we know. So like next time, let's ease up on the units. Or at that 2 week appointment, you might say, you know what, Dr. T, I'm actually seeing a little bit more movement here. Can we just treat this area? It'll be appropriate to do so. So that's the initial consultation. That's mostly for Botox. And in that, we don't only talk again about like Botox, but we talk about holistically, like you're going to get this amazing treatment that's going to make you like, you know, give you like, you're smoothing out the wrinkles that were bothering you, but what are you going to do at home to upkeep this treatment, right? So we discuss that as well prior to treatment or even after. And then we do like a follow-up in 2 days just to make sure everything's okay. And then we typically see our patients in 2 weeks. And then the Botox treatment can be done every 3 to 4 months. If you get filler, it could be every 6 months or 6 months to a year. And then it just depends on the treatment. Every treatment deserves a little bit different of a follow-up as far as what happens after the 2 weeks.
Okay. So I'm really glad that you touched on the things that are important to not do before your appointment, but also afterwards. And the reason I like that, because again, as someone, you're educating all of us in this process, but post-care, so I don't want the misconception for our listeners to think, okay, I got my Botox. Now I can go, after the 24 hours, drink it up, smoke it up.
Right.
Like, you know, overconsumption of sun. So in addition to the things that you already listed for us, what are some other things that you would advise our listeners to do as well as patients to make sure that they are taking care of themselves so that this is preventative and you're not just doing this service in vain?
Okay, so definitely I'm all about the holistic approach, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like not only do you get your Botox, but you're drinking your water, right? Mm-hmm. We're staying hydrated.
Yes.
We're trying to limit our processed foods. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, we're trying to eat like a whole foods diet, whether you're a vegan, pescatarian, or you just eat meat. Whatever you do, ensure that you're putting in as less sugar and processed foods into your body as possible, more whole foods. So typically foods with like one ingredient, like not fish and sauce, but like,
yes,
right? Yes. Or rice, you know, like the brown rice, but like anything that can be stored on a shelf, like goldfish or like, and like there's so much, like anything in the center of the aisle. Put it this way, I tell my patients to maintain your beauty longevity, try to eat around the grocery store, right? So the fruits, the vegetables, like, you know, the protein, things that can be found around, because everything that's on the shelf, not everything, but most things that are on the shelf,
right,
body just will break it down into sugar. So So then that sugar causes inflammation. That inflammation can cause like increase, like not only weight, but wrinkling of the skin. So it's really a holistic approach, you know, in addition to, so you got your Botox, you better be drinking that water, you better be having your healthy diet, you better be moving your body, right? Let's get our sleep in. What are you doing to manage stress? And also, what are you putting on your skin? Like, we don't want to like ignore that. We, even melanated people, we need sunblock just as much as sunscreen, just as much.
Say it again for the cheap seats in the back. Please say that again.
We want to be taking care of our skin. So you got this beautiful Botox. Not you're taking care of your body, but simple things you do at home, like use your sunscreen in the morning, use your retinol at night. Ten step routine, not necessarily works for you. But what should work for you, unless you have really bad allergies, is sunscreen and retinol. That should be like a staple.
I agree. And you know what? I want to pause right there because you're talking about taking care of ourselves. And I want to spotlight our sponsor for this first season, which is a company called Vita Authority. You guys see me holding this multi-collagen protein, which you've heard me talk about at this point ad nauseum. This is one of my favorite products from Vita Authority. I have been consuming this now for 2 years. I have noticed an extreme difference in the quality of my hair, my skin, my nails grow like crazy. Also, my energy level. I have had joint issues with my knees. I can't even tell you the last time that I experienced any type of inflammation in my knees since I've been consuming this. I drink it once per day in my water, particularly after my workout in the morning. And I just can't recommend this enough. Another one of their products that I really enjoy, I'm holding their Melt PM. And so this is a supplement that helps with sleep support, but it also supports the four keys to healthy weight loss. So appetite control, metabolism boost, sleep support, as well as helping you curb those cravings. So for me, sometimes I can have a little trouble falling asleep. And so I'll use this on those nights where I may have a little more on my mind so I can make sure that I'm getting a restful night of sleep. And that way I am able to wake up in the day and have my workout, curb all those cravings. And so the listeners of the Style and Conversation podcast actually have a special code, which is Styled by Jess. That is STYLEDBYJESS. And this will give you 15% off Bite Authority's entire collection of products. And this will also be linked in the episode description. But I also just want to share a little bit more with you about Bite Authority. At Bite Authority, they believe everyone should be able to take their health into their own hands, and we envision a future where health and wellness products are found on counters in every single household. We pride ourselves on being an absolute authority when it comes to health and wellness supplements and set the standard on providing high-quality, science-based, clean-tested, and proven products for every person from every walk of life. Bite Authority can now be found at GNC retail stores as well as other retailers nationwide and has gone international in Canada, the Dominican Republic, Panama, the Caribbean, and Africa. For more information about Bite Authority and our commitment to promoting women's health, wellness, and active lifestyles, please visit www.viteauthority.com. And that is spelled VITAUTHORITY.com. Okay, so let's jump back into our conversation. So you've given the listeners the breakdown on what the actual appointment would look like, what pre-appointment care as well as post-op care looks like. So now, I know you touched a little bit on this at the beginning of our discussion, but I want to play a myth or fact game with you.
Okay.
So the first myth is Botox. So I'm going to say these and then you say myth or fact.
Okay.
So the first thing is Botox is toxic and the long-term effects are unknown.
Myth or fact. Okay. So Botox is toxic and then, okay. So Botox is safe when it's administered in small controlled doses by a qualified professional, right? The Botox has been studied and the FDA approved it in 2002, like we just researched. Mm-hmm. So in small amounts administered by a professional, Botox is safe.
Okay. And I want to pause right there. Obviously, we know the listeners, if they are looking for a licensed professional, they should visit Modern Beauty Oasis. But if they're not in the Georgia area, even though you welcome them to come in, what are some things that they should look for to determine if this is a licensed professional that is skilled and able to properly administer Botox to them?
Okay, like any medical procedure, you just want to ensure that the person has been trained. You want to vet them, whether it's a family or friend. In Georgia, it's people that can inject are physician assistants, nurse practitioners, RNs can inject as well, so registered nurses, mm-hmm. and of course, you know, physicians. I don't know for different states, but you just want to do your due diligence, read their reviews, visit the office, get a feel about when you meet them, you know, in person, what's the feel that you get about them, have them show you their qualifications, ensure that they're safe. You know, Auntie Google is there to guide us to see.
Yeah, I like it.
Has any issues or any bad reviews. But yeah, it's just like, you know, doing your research. And then if you could get a friend or know a friend or a colleague that has been to that person, that's a place where you could start as well.
I like it. Okay. So another myth or fact.
Yes.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You talked about early on. So Botox is only used to treat wrinkles.
So that's myth, because about Botox can be used to treat migraines, TMJ, overactive bladder. I think even some muscle spasm diseases. I know it can be used in patients that have I think spastic muscles. I just don't know in what capacity because I'm in aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Is not only for, neurotoxin.
yes.
Neurotoxin is not only for aesthetics and wrinkles, but can be used to treat other things.
Okay. So another myth or fact, Botox will affect my body. Myth or fact?
Myth. So Botox, typically Botox stays where you inject it. That's okay. Why I recommend not laying down for 4 hours. I haven't seen it because all my patients follow rules, but not laying down for 4 hours, not vigorously rubbing your face, not doing anything like chemical peels or anything, because we want the medicine to stay right where you place it. So as long as there's not a lot of movement of the body, it stays where we put it. So it doesn't affect the entire body, but just the muscle that has been injected with the medicine.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. And so... another myth or fact, if you stop using Botox, the wrinkles will become more severe.
That is a myth. So if you stop using, Botox or any other neurotoxin, the wrinkles that you have will come back. It will just come back and you will continue to wrinkle like genetically programmed to wrinkle.
Okay, so break it down to touch on really quickly, because I know earlier in our conversation you mentioned like some younger patients in their 20s or 30s who are doing this for preventative measures. So let's say I just turned 33. So if I get on a regimen with Modern Beauty Oasis, and then for some reason, I make a decision to stop or whatever the case may be, like 10 years from now, at that point, have I done enough prevention where, obviously, like you said, genetically, our bodies will change, things will shift, but have I done enough preventative maintenance where I am maybe less likely to wrinkle, or at that point, will I just have the wrinkles that, if I don't take care of myself at that age, are expected to come?
Okay. I understand what you're asking. I'll explain to you.
Okay.
None of us have like the special ball that we can look into the future.
Yes, very true.
The wrinkles that we could get, we'll start with forehead wrinkles. The reason, our skin is constantly changing. So sometimes we be losing collagen. That's one form of wrinkle. But the way that the Botox work, outside of the way the skin is actually, the thickness of the skin, that's genetics. The Botox just prevents the muscles from moving. So every time the muscle moves, your skin folds like you would fold a piece of paper. Folding that piece of paper, you could fold a piece of paper once, open it and smooth it out and maybe not see a fold, right?
Okay.
Folding that piece of paper, eventually you're going to start to see the folds will stay.
Okay.
Muscles doing under our skin. It's moving our skin. So eventually the wrinkles will stay. So when you're getting Botox or neurotoxin in your 30s, you're just not folding the paper.
Okay.
So the paper that was folding before, you're not folding it as much, so that when you're in your 40s, you should have less wrinkles than someone that has had their skin creasing the whole time.
Okay. That makes sense.
So you're basically not folding that paper. You're keeping that paper flat, But the moment the Botox wear off and you are folding that paper, you're almost starting from like smoother skin, if that makes sense.
No, that does. That makes perfect sense. Okay. So
your skin will still move and it will start to fold, but it may not be, you may not have the deep, your lines may not have been as deep as if some, like someone that never got Tox.
Okay. That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Medicine wears off and that muscle starts moving, the muscles on the around the eyes and the muscles in here, your skin's going to fold. But at least if you started in your 30s, you will have like flatter skin to start with.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, and then that's only, again, Botox is only used to help relax the muscle so it doesn't move, so the skin doesn't fold. There's still other things, like your skin itself may just be, you may just have like skin that doesn't have as much collagen, so it's more prone to fine wrinkles that even Botox can't smooth out. And that might be a genetic thing, and that might, you may need to address that with microneedling or platelet-rich plasma to kind of plump up that skin, right?
Okay.
There's like, yeah, different, like there's different ways, wrinkles, but as far as like the prevention, like when we hear preventative toxin, it's like you're keeping that muscle not moving, so it's not folding the skin for a longer period of time.
Okay. No, that's very interesting. Okay. I like the way you explain that with the paper folding.
Yeah. We want to not fold the paper. So we want to relax the muscle.
And so I know you touched on this earlier in our conversation too, but myth or fact, just to expand further on this, Botox will give you a frozen look. And I have a question for you after you answer this.
Okay. It can be fact, it can be myth. Mm-hmm. So the standard units that like even the Allergan, the company that makes Botox, they recommend starting with like 20 units. They recommend starting with 20 units in different, like the face areas, so like 60 units total. Now,
You
decide in someone that might be in their 50s, that 20 units might be okay. Someone that might be like your age, that 20 units could get them frozen.
Right? Oh, okay.
No movement, because it might just be too much. But that's why I say myth or fact. That's why it's important just to come up with a plan with your provider, that's someone that has experience that knows, like, listen, 20 might be a little bit too much for you. Or I know you want 20, but you look like you may need a little bit more because you've never got Botox and you have these like these wrinkles that are kind of deep set in. And you're telling me you want more smoothing of the forehead. So we may need to do more than 20. So it truly depends on the patient. And I think it's funny also because guess what? Some people want frozen. Some people come in and say, I only have enough for 20 units, but can that make me frozen? It's like, some people come in saying, I don't want to move.
Not them trying to be Elsa and let it go, honey. We're not trying to be frozen. Okay.
People are like, freeze me up. I do not need these muscles to move. Freeze me up. I just want like flat skin. So it depends on the patient, but yes, you don't have to have a frozen look. I think it go somewhere with someone has experience and they can work with you. And even the most qualified person may have less movement than you want, but that's why that 2-week follow-up is so important, because eventually it'll wear off and you just know next time, don't get as much. That's it.
I really like that you mentioned that about the 2-week follow-up and that's something that you put in practice with your patients, because I wouldn't have even thought about that, to evaluate it 2 weeks afterwards to see how you feel about it, where you're at with it. So I'm really intrigued that you offer that to your patients.
Most people do. Honestly, most people do.
Okay.
You would be so surprised at how some people would say, Dr. T, I really didn't see anything with the treatment. And then they come to their 2 weeks. And then they're like, oh, clutch my pearls. Like, I do notice I don't have a line there anymore. So it's cool just to see on two-dimensionally, like, what changes occur in the skin. And people be like, oh, my gosh, oh, it did work. Like, okay, you know, like, look at me. I don't have wrinkles as much anymore. So they may not have noticed, but it's, like, clear when you compare, like, the softness, the smoothness of the skin. It's awesome. So that's why I just urge my patients, get back in for that 2 weeks.
Okay. I'm intrigued. And so the second part to me asking that myth or fact question is when we were talking about licensed providers who are able to administer Botox. So my personal opinion, as someone that is very interested in beauty, and feel free to correct me on this, my personal opinion would be to go to someone such as yourself who is able to map out a plan, because I paid attention to what you were saying when you asked the questions about what is your lifestyle like? What are you doing that you like your facial expressions, or what are some things you want to change, instead of just going in and looking at a line or just start injecting based off of your own eye. You're taking the time to ask your patient what they desire and map out a plan. So to tie it all together, in my opinion, I, based off our conversation, think it would be more beneficial to someone to go to, yes, a licensed professional, but a licensed professional that will take that approach of mapping out a plan with you, as opposed to taking the approach of just going to someone who may be an RN. And this is no shade to the RNs, honey, because you studied harder than I did in school. But going to someone who just has the ability to give an injection, or maybe even something like, I've seen a lot of cases where they're like Botox parties, like pop up at a boutique. Instead of doing that, go to a regular person. Instead of discounting your face, go to someone who is on a consistent basis going to work with you, and you have a plan mapped out, as opposed to just going different places and not ultimately getting the result that you want.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Like, you want to go to somewhere that like looks at you holistically, because it is your face, right?
Right.
And you're going to get like good RNs. You're going to get not so good RNs. You're going to get good PAs. You're going to get not so good PAs. You're going to get great doctors. And you're going to get doctors that are like, oh, you know, it's such a sensitive area, because it's your face and your presentation that you do want to take good care of, and you want to do your due diligence, you want to do your research, you want to go to someone that, you know, has good reviews, that like provides that like will follow up and has great bedside manner. And the human body, even though Botox and filler is kind of like, it's not, you know, brain surgery, but the human body is different. Everyone's like body is so different, and like you could get like 100 people do Botox a certain way, and that one person, you know, it might not work as well, or something happened, and it's nothing you did wrong, but it's the person's body, and that person, like, it means a lot to them, right? Like,
yeah.
So you just want to go to someone that's going to be mindful, that's going to look at you holistically. The Botox party, to me, I actually, as a provider, I like the term, because this is what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Typically with Botox parties, like, you might see like alcohol involved, and it's kind of like, wait, what? Because you're not supposed to get Botox.
Oh.
But
I didn't even think about that, doc.
Because I'm like, wait a minute, you're serving champagne. But also the good thing about the Botox party is that might be someone's first introduction. That might, like, you know, like, if a bunch of people are doing it, you'll do it too. So they're not, to me, not a bad thing. And it's not, and it's a Botox party, not a breast surgery party, right? You're not getting
okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, a little injection here and there. So I actually think those are good ideas, because that might be someone's first introduction. Like, yeah, my girl is doing it too. Let me just see what this is about. And then
okay.
Yeah, and then finally, well, it's a, but you got to vet the person, right?
Right.
All I'm saying is, like, with a good person, like, I might have a Botox party, and I would want we would still have a consultation at the party, you know, just like, have it drink alcohol and they meet the requirements, we can still do it. And then that way that person can still follow up with me at my location, but it may be their first introduction to, like, I never even thought about Botox, but now that, you know, my girlfriend mentions it, maybe I'll just try a little here, you know, a little bit here, you know?
Okay.
So it'd actually be a good thing to have, like, to do that in a setting where they're surrounded with their friends.
Okay. So it's a thumbs up for the Botox parties.
Mm-hmm.
Still with a licensed professional such as yourself, hit up Modern Beauty Oasis.
Yeah.
But let's stay away from the alcohol for the party. Maybe let's have some nice
and it has to be
water.
Yeah, we have to have some clean settings, right?
Yes.
meet some requirements, but to me, they're not necessarily a bad thing. And also, a Botox party could mean just a group of people coming into the spa. So not a bad thing.
Okay. Okay. I like it. I like it. I like you're educating us.
Yes.
So my next myth or fact for you, Botox, and you described it, but I just want to give you the opportunity to expand.
Yes.
Botox injections are painful.
Okay. So they feel to me, and I do it on my own self, tiny, tiny needle poking into the skin. So you do feel it, but there can be techniques that are used to distract the brain from the sensation of the, like the little rubber band pricks. Mm-hmm. And it could be something as simple as squeezing a ball. It could, you could use a vibratory, vibratory device to distract your brain. So your brain's like, what's this vibrating on the person's, like my, your brain's thinking, what's vibrating on my chin while you're getting Botox in your forehead? I use a technique where I just like, if you're getting Botox in your forehead, I'll actually tap your head like this. And then it kind of distracts your brain even more.
Okay.
But if you're like, absolutely, it hurts so bad, I cannot, then you can use numbing cream as well.
Okay.
It's that by the time it takes the numbing cream to work, you can unhide your Botox mid in out.
Okay. So it just takes a second for it to kick in. About how many minutes would you say it takes the numbing cream to activate?
Typically for like, there's different numbing creams that you use for different procedures. So when we're just talking about neurotoxin numbing cream, usually about 20, 25 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Got it. So I see what you mean about, you could have just had your Botox and been back in the office, honey.
Yes, honey. Yes, yes. But everyone's different. So there's no shade. You just have to kind of let the person know ahead of time, like especially someone who's had experience, like absolutely not, I cannot, it hurts too bad. Then that person could just sit somewhere quietly, you know, relax with the numbing cream in the areas that they're going to be treated, wipe the cream off, clean up the area, get your toxin, and you're out.
Okay. Okay. I like it. So my last myth or fact for you, Botox prevents new wrinkles.
So that's going to be a fact.
Okay.
That we talked about, as long as you keep that certain muscles from not and creasing the skin, the wrinkles won't form. But once you stop, your genetic predetermined wrinkles, well, depending if you got them younger, they may not be as pronounced. So I would say, yes, the sooner, the better. The sooner you kind of keep the muscle from creasing that skin, the wrinkles in the future.
And so with that, I have a question for you. When I was doing some research to prepare for our conversation, I came across some terms that I was not familiar with. So apparently there are two types of wrinkles. There are dynamic and static. So can you fill our listeners in on the difference between these two and how Botox plays a role within both?
Okay. So I can't do it now because I have my Xeomin, my neurotoxin. Mm-hmm. But if you make a frown face, it says you can have a line right in the middle. As you frown, bring your eyebrows together. Or if someone, like, let's say you won $1 million, you make a surprise face, you notice that you can have lines in the forehead. That is dynamic. When you just have them, whenever you're making that expression and you have the lines, whether it's mean or like excited, that's dynamic. Now, the moment you stop making the expression and you just look, you look regular and the lines are still there, that's static.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are the static wrinkles. So dynamic wrinkles are the wrinkles that you get. Kit, my beautiful eight-year-olds, they have dynamic wrinkles because they make expressions. Like, we make expressions. They get mad. They get happy. So there's folds, right? But the moment, like, as we get older, some of those lines could stay. So I was starting to get my, like, static wrinkling. I was starting to notice little linear lines, like, in my mid-30s. Nothing pronounced, just when I was starting to notice that whenever I smiled, I had the lines and they were pretty deep. And then when I stopped smiling or when I stopped expressing my face, the lines were starting to be there. And I was like, we gotta start to tox it up. So my static wrinkles aren't as pronounced.
Okay. I like that. Thank you for explaining that for the listeners. And so, of course, the podcast is called Style and Conversation. So I always like to ask my guest one style-related question. So I wanted to ask you, who is a style icon for you?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I have so many different styles. Lately, I've been feeling Kelly Rowland's style. I just love, love, love her style. It's just, she's so classic, but she can be so edgy. Just, I love her. She's like perfection, right? Yeah. I love, guess what? I love Solange's style too. I know I'm picking two amazing.
No, you can have as many as you want. You pick two good ones.
This is going to be like, my friends would be like, what? But Sophie Richards, right? I think that like that quiet luxury, I think it would, I love that too. Just like her style is amazing too. I guess, and if, those are like the people I can think of off the top of my head.
That I like it. And what you said about Sophia Richards, that's what I'm seeing a lot for fall. Mm-hmm. Like those quiet, like muted staple pieces. Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely touch on that when I talk about fall on social media. But I think that's interesting that you picked those. You picked some great ones.
Yes. Who are yours?
Girl. So the Forever Floatist, Michelle Obama.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's- Michelle. Tracee Ellis Ross.
Oh my gosh, yes, yes.
I remember the day my best friend was like, you know who you remind me of? And I was like, who? She was like, Tracee Ellis Ross. And I was like,
yes.
Love her. Tracee Ellis Ross.
Same.
Yes. Elaine Welteroth. Love her.
I'm not familiar with her.
So she was the first Black editor of Teen Vogue. Okay. Look her up. She's doing some amazing things for the mortality rates among Black mothers when it comes to birth.
Wow.
And so she's definitely like expanded, gone far beyond style. She's amazing. I read her autobiography. Really, really dope lady just in her space. I also love Kerry Washington.
Of course. Yes.
Yes. Love Kerry Washington. Fantasia.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, Fantasia, Taraji. Yeah, I would say like...
Same.
Yes, yes, all of those. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, that was a good question and a good game we played. So I want to close out by giving you the opportunity to tell our listeners how they can keep up with you, tell them more about Modern Beauty Oasis, if there are any upcoming projects, Botox parties that they can look out for, just anything that you want to share to make everyone aware of yourself and your growing business.
Well, Jessica, before we wrap up, like for real, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm so humbled. This has been such an amazing experience. You are doing such good work. I know I gave you your flowers earlier, but let's give you some flowers, girl. Thank you so much for having me on this platform. And helping me meet all your amazing listeners. I just want to reiterate, in Modern Beauty, we're just trying to do cutting edge aesthetics in the sense of we're trying to help women who are in their 40s and above. Of course, the 30-year-olds can come through too, but I really want to be a champion for women who society says like we may not be as beautiful because we're of a certain age. Like, be their champion. We can be as beautiful. We can be as fit. We can be as well. You know, it's not only about Botox and fillers, but let's get some regenerative medicine in there as well. Let's get some like peptides in. Let's increase our energy. Let's like live healthier longer and just look cute while doing it. So the listeners who are interested, they can go my website, modernbeautyoasis.com. You can follow me on all the social medias, the TikToks, the Instagrams, the Facebook, modernbeautyoasis.com. And upcoming events, I'm hoping to have my grand opening in October of this year of my office. Yes, my very own office. So tentatively October 24th, look out for my grand opening. So I'll be educating people that on social media. But yeah, let's just, I just want to be a pillar of the community. I want to be a champion for women and men, of course, but definitely for women to say like, let's live healthier. Let's live longer. Let's just look cute while doing it.
I love it, Dr. T. And thank you. It has been such a pleasure having you on. You did a great job. You light up when you speak about these projects and just everything that you have going on. So I can tell that this is a passion for you, but it's so beyond vanity and surface level. Like you said, it's about helping women feel great about women and men feel great about themselves. And I like what you said about just because we're at a certain age, you are still amazing. We're not throwing anything away. It's about feeling great from the inside out and continuing to live our best lives. Just because we hit a certain benchmark as far as a number does not mean that life is at a standstill. You just keep getting better. So,
yes.
I love it. Well, with that, Style Crew, we are closing out another episode of Style and Conversation. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, share this with a girlfriend or a guy who wants to be more educated on the benefits of Botox. And until next Thursday, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Hey, Style Crew, make sure you're keeping up with our podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, as well as the Podcast Index. And if you'd like to view the podcast visually, check out my YouTube channel, Styled by Jessica Lauren. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at style_andconversationpodcast.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.